welcome everyone to Jenkins Church this morning. Along with the cool weather, I'm sure it's waking us up pretty good. Let's just take a few minutes and greet your neighbors and those who you've not seen in a week or in a while. Everyone, please be sure and register your attendance this morning. I don't know if those been handed out, Teresa. I don't even see them, but I'm sure you can find them. Just please be sure and register your attendance this morning. Are there any announcements this morning? Miss Sherry. The date is November 7th.
Sherry, those sign-up sheets may have become moved. There was a wedding here yesterday. They may be in that first closet here, stacked up to save them, to keep them getting whatever. Okay. And everybody, if people have a wedding, they don't get things back like they found them. Never. So that's one of the problems.
So anyway, for those of you that did not hear, on November 7th for Sleigh Bells to Star, Sherry needs people to sign up. I know from experience it takes a whole lot of people. It's a church-wide effort. It is a great day. Even if you can't be here that day, there are plenty of things to do in advance. So just check out the sheets, and if you don't see anything on there that you want to do, ask Sherry how you can help. So, Patrick?
Yeah, I have a few announcements. The first one, tonight we have a cookout at 5 at the Strasser Farm. Bring your own hot dogs and chips, whatever you want. We'll have paper plates and forks and stuff like that. The second one is there's a young adult retreat being planned at the campground we go to. It's for 18 to the age 25.
Okay, does everybody know where the Strasser Farm is? One or two don't. Go south on 41A, 31A, or 31A, 41A.
It's south this way.
South is that way. If you've got a GPS, you can figure that out. And then it's the second road on the right, the fourth driveway on the left. Second road on the right, don't count Williams Road. The next one is the first one, Osborne. Second one is Mullins. And then the fourth driveway on the left, and then go down that little driveway, and you'll see a fire maybe off to the right. Most everybody knew that, but wanted to make sure that those who didn't know where it was could find it. Working on the budget, if your committee or I almost said if you personally, if your committee wants to get something special in the budget, you can at least make a request. Okay.
Other announcements? I don't think I asked. Do we have any first-time visitors this morning?
Mr. Muncy may be a first-timer or a long-timer. Second-timer. Okay.
Well, welcome back.
Welcome.
Okay. Prayer and praise requests.
Tim, over here. Over here.
My daughter Elizabeth was in Mexico and ill, but she was ill with, we think, complications of bronchitis, but she came home early, and her neck is very swollen. She doesn't have insurance, so she's feeling better just being home, but he'll help us pray for a diagnosis and healing.
Others.
Sam was on another preaching mission this morning to Springfield. Our friend Joyce Lovelace passed away and was buried yesterday, and he and Nancy plus Tommy Job and others from the community attended the funeral. This is our 41st anniversary. We're going to a Halloween cookout. Isn't that fun?
So good report now? Very good. Amen. Are there others? Yes.
My father-in-law is going to go see the doctor tomorrow. They're trying to determine how severe his volumes are, whether they're going to have to go into surgery. He's already got cancer in the general vicinity, and they're not too optimistic.
In his name?
Like this on a card, if you will, drop in the offering plate, so we'll have it.
Pam.
A girlfriend of mine was just ordered to Texas. She's joking on the email. She got married, and 2 days later got diagnosed with cancer. So they treated the baby with a baby over and you can't keep her down. So please just don't talk to her. She hasn't got to work up for like 2 weeks.
We will not do forever this morning the contemporary song. We will not do it. Okay.
Right. Let's pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts for worshiping God.
Say, when other people use your building, you never know where stuff will end up.
If you would all please stand and join me in the call to worship. It is responsive, and it comes from Psalms 107 and 117. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things.
Praise the Lord, all you nations.
Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us.
And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever.
Praise the Lord.
Let us pray.
Lord God, we come before you humbly. Lord, we come with much appreciation, much thanksgiving that you're good and that you love us. Love us with an everlasting love. Lord, help us to drink that thought in and live with it, and live in a manner that would honor and glorify you. Thank you for your care over us, your blessing, your help, your guidance, and all else that you offer to your children. Lord, we know you to be faithful. But Lord, you're even more faithful than we can comprehend. You make us faithful as we respond to your faithfulness. Teach us in this hour. Motivate us. Strengthen us. Prepare us to be used out in the world. And we pray it in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That faithful God, our God, offers his arm for us to lean on. Let's think about it. 354, leaning on the everlasting arm.
service where we recite our statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed, found in your hymnal 716 or on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The confession this morning comes from Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. If you please join me in our prayer of confession, found in your bulletin. We pray for forgiveness this day. For choosing power over service, forgive us. For seeking glory rather than humility, forgive us. For pushing ourselves to the front when our presence is needed on the sidelines, forgive us. Help us know where we are needed and how best to serve you and your people. Guide us to your side that we might be your hands of healing and compassion for a world in need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Christ, our High Priest, guides us gently back to the path of walking with God and serving our neighbor. If you turn in your hymnal to page 381, open my eyes that I may see. We'll do all three verses.
Thank you.
offertory sentence this morning comes from Luke 12, verse 48. From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. Will our ushers please come forward?
Good morning. Spending his first Sunday sitting in the pew alone. There are whispers all around him. His heart breaks in two. He's wondering who will reach out and help him make it through. Who will be Jesus to him? Who'll show the love that restores him again? He doesn't need a judge, he needs a friend. Who will be Jesus to him? Like the woman at the well, the only love she ever knew was the kind she buys and sells. But her thirsty heart is searching for a love that will be true. The Savior cries for her to see himself in me and you. Who will be
scripture this morning comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 26 through 34, and Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In Matthew chapter 10, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth much more than many sparrows. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Boy, did
allow me to make an apology. Things don't fall in place. We always look for a way to blame somebody else, and so I blame the party that was here last evening for a wedding, and for the candle lighter or the lighter being out of the way, and they were a good group to work with, but no matter who it is, I've discovered that things don't get back put back just where they ought to be, and we worked everything up here we thought, and sometimes I come, I complain when I should just go on, and or complain to the wrong people or something, and I've done that a lot. My apologies for that. Also, when you're working with machines, they don't always work. We thought we had it down pat. We came in and worked with it this morning, and Peggy had it down pat. And Peggy, I know that first verse is real personal to you, but thank you for sharing that. Who will be Jesus? And who will you be Jesus to? His hands and his feet. So thank you for that one. God bless you. We're talking about God caring for you. It's my hope. Some people said, what's the goal of a sermon or what are we supposed to do? Every sermon is not necessarily planned with the thought that we need to take any action. It may be that we just need to learn to lean on Jesus or learn to lean on God. There may just be a basic truth that we need to grasp and live by. And see, some sermons are reach in your pocket. That's a tithing sermon, isn't it? And this is the 10th month. We're going to talk about giving a tenth. Some churches use the 10th month of the year to talk about tithing. That was a rabbit trail I went down, but it's not a bad one. Maybe it was inspired. Who knows? Also, some people need to be encouraged to become a better neighbor or a hospital visitor or, you know, a deliverer for a meal on wheels and something like that. So some are to go apologize to somebody or et cetera, et cetera. You know, that's one of the things that Jesus tells us to do. Okay, well, let's talk this morning about God caring. It may challenge you to some action, but it may be that the best thing can happen this morning is that we learn to lean on Jesus, or to know that God, through Jesus, cares for us in such a wonderful, wonderful way, beyond our comprehension. So let's think about God's caring. Many great themes in the Bible. Just name a subject, and there's probably a great theme in it. Included in the Bible. Most anything you want to talk about, you can find a biblical example. Or if we need to talk about it, it's there. Recently, we've considered creation. Where did we come from? And some people don't know. So we talked about creation. We talked about God. We talked about the Bible and the inspiration of the Bible. And we didn't cover everything, but we're just in a sermon, 20 to 30 minutes, we can only touch on, just kind of skim over it. And that's the way it is, especially if I'm talking. Some people may get more deep or cover more material in one message. Then we talked about God's will. God's will for you. What God wants, desires, has planned for you. And knowing God's will. Today, I'll ask you to join me as we consider how God cares for His people, or God's care for His people. It is referred to as God's providence. And the providence of God, or a providential move. We move because of that God planned it. God directed it. God oversaw it. God sent it in the providence of God. And I can look at my life, my personal life. I can see it a lot better now than I could when it was happening. But today, 41 years, my goodness, she's put up with a lot. And I know y'all know that. But friends, I have to. No, I won't say it. But
We all have our moments. But, you know, she brought me coffee in bed this morning. I should have been up doing something. She does that every Sunday morning. Give me 15 more minutes in bed. Can't beat that, fellows, can you? And she's put up with a lot. But I can see, if you'd have talked about it or wrote about it or something 45 years ago, you know, there's no way we could have seen it happening. And because I had other plans. And my goodness, God, I'm convinced God just worked it out and sent me to North Arkansas, of all places. If we talk about, I had to go through Eastern Arkansas. North Arkansas is so beautiful. And I thought I had such beautiful women. I still believe that. Or such a beautiful woman. And let me go up there. Sent me through the Delta of Eastern Arkansas. I got up there and went up there and preached. And people planned our wedding before we even met. Some of her friends and who were my friends and et cetera. And I could see the providential blessings of God or the providence of God. I want to talk about how God has taken care of other people. I've told my story or a little bit of it. How He has already, how He is in the present, and how He will continue to provide for us. God cares for us. He cares for us. He has a good feeling for us, if you want to put it that way. But He also takes care of us. It's not that He just concerned because if we were a baby, not just as He... I can't use that one. Okay. Had a quick illustration that probably won't fit here. So it would fit, but I won't use it because it's a pulpit. But God takes care of us. He comes and works in our life, not standing aside, just caring for us or hurting when we get in trouble, but He comes and guides our life, intervenes even in our action when we will allow Him to do that. God has cared for us. He is guiding us, if you want to put it that way. He has guided us. He is guiding us. And He will continue to guide us if we'll let Him. Now, sometimes we say, God, I want to do it on my own. And He'll say, okay, go. Get in trouble. And hopefully you'll come back to me before it's too late. A popular TV show some years back was The Golden Girls. It's still on reruns. Anybody watch the reruns of The Golden Girls? Every once in a while, I flip through and find it. But there's also, Bea Arthur was Dorothy. Bea Arthur also had another show on. And I got the two confused, but I hope I've got it straight. That show, you remember what it was? Maude. And she was Maude. And Maude was often saying, when she was angry, which was often, she was saying, God, I'll get you for that. Remember it? And that line implied to me, if you took that as gospel and the way God is, if you took what Maude said to be what the Bible teaches about God, and that's all you knew, it said to me at least that God was sitting up into heaven. He was sitting there watching over us. As somebody, one of my friends, preached a sermon once about and referred to a song that is an all-seeing eye watching you, watching you. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. God is sitting up in heaven, or wherever He is, but I always thought He's way up in the clouds, and looking down at me, waiting for me to do something wrong so He could get me. It might be a zap of lightning. It might be a slap. It might be write my name in the book of non-life. You know, this one's got to go to the devil because he's lived with the devil for eternity. And that idea of God, to me, said that God is going to get us, He's going to punish us for whatever it is we've done that somebody else didn't like. Because if they didn't like it, certainly He didn't like it. And He was going to enjoy punishing me, at least. I thought He was going to enjoy. Or B, Arthur or Maude would imply that God's going to get you and he's going to enjoy getting you and I'm going to enjoy it too. Did you get that from her statement? Maybe I read too much into it, but if it is, that's my privilege, I guess, okay? I remember when I thought about God that he was going to get me. And it's not a fun way to live before God. But the study of God's Word and experiencing God in various ways proved to me, I guess it proved, it convinced me at least, that God is a loving God. God's Word reveals a God of justice, but it also reveals a loving God, especially when you get to the New Testament and the life of Jesus. But also back in the Old Testament, that mercy and grace and love and compassion and concern for His creation is right there. Now, you can read the Bible and never see it if you kind of tune it out, but it's there. A God who is sad when we do wrong, not pleased to be able to, yeah, I'll get you for this one, fella. And he's hurt when we do wrong. I found a God who is sad and will punish our wrongdoing, but would rather forgive us. And that's why he sent Jesus, to pay, so we wouldn't have to pay. So he wouldn't have to get us. And then sometimes people won't have forgiveness. No, I won't go to Jesus for forgiveness. I'll pay for it myself. I did it, and I'll pay for it. And if you run into people like that, hopefully you're not one of them. If you are, I hope you'll change. Hope you'll trust in Jesus for your forgiveness. And God placed our sins upon Jesus. Not happy about it. That was his boy. He bore our sins in his body on a tree. He sent his own son to take our punishment that we deserve. We deserve the punishment. And Jesus came from heaven to take our punishment for us. In our place, in our stead. God cares for us. God cares for me. God cares for you. God cares for the vilest offender. It's a phrase in a song. See. He sent his son to die for the vilest offender. The meanest person in the world. He cares for us and he takes care of us. If we will permit him to do so. I'm convinced that the Bible teaches more strongly than anything else that he won't force himself upon us. But he keeps offering himself for us. One of the great messages of the Bible, and therefore a great message of the church, is how God has provided for our eternity. How God has provided for our life after this life that begins in this life. See, eternity includes now. But the great message of the gospel is how God has sent his son, Jesus, to die in our place. And if we believe on him, we will not perish or we will not be separated from him, but we'll be given eternal life. And that implies in his presence, if you read all of John chapter 3. God has provided for our eternity. He's provided first a place for our eternity. John 14, I go
he told the disciples, to prepare a place for you. He goes on to say, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, or come unto you, and take you to that place, so that where I am, you may be also. He has provided a place for us. Revelation 21, 3b, or the last part of 3. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God will be with them and be their God. Verse 4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the older things, or the old order of things, has passed away. A place, no more tears. A place, God dwelling with us, or us dwelling with God, maybe one way to put it. I won't say it's a better way to express it, but one way to express it. Us dwelling with God. The dwelling of God is with men. He will live with them, and we'll be his people, and he'll be our God. To be no more crying or pain, no more death or mourning, no more sadness. Man in the community has been at the point of death for 2 or 3 weeks or longer. And the wife just gets up, I guess, is full up with the sadness. She called a friend this week and said, I don't see how he can live through the weekend. Don't see how he can live through the weekend. But he was still knowing people yesterday. But it's such a sad experience to sit there, and they have to. I can just go in and say hi and offer a prayer and slip out. They're there 24 hours a day. John, that's Mr. Henry. Just barely hanging on. Barely hanging on. We'll have to experience that in heaven, a place for us. God has provided a glorious place for us, and he's provided a way to get there. Now, is it Philip? I think I wrote that note, and sometimes I get Philip and Thomas mixed up. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I'll come back and get you, and you know how you're going to get there. And one of the disciples said, we don't even know where you're going, Jesus. We don't even know where you're going. How do we know how to get there? And Jesus said, I'm the way to get there. Jesus is the way to heaven. He said of himself that he was the way to get to heaven. His life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his promise to return for us. He is the way to heaven. John 14, 3b, I will come back and take you to be with me. I'll come back, he said, and take you to be with me. God loves us so much. He's provided a place for us to experience God's care like we couldn't even dream of experiencing it here on earth. We can kind of speculate, but we're so limited when we begin to comprehend spiritual things, or at least I am. God loves us. Look at your scripture lesson. Jesus is talking to a crowd in Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount. He talks about how God's caring for people. Folks, don't worry about life. And some of us are twiddling our thumbs still, and we're about to get over it now because we've heard that the recession was over. So we're getting a little better, but we're worried and anxious, and we get a letter in the mail that says whatever investments you had invested were pretty good, but they ain't no more. Have you got any of those letters? And the wife says, we need to move them.
get that money out of there while there's still a little there. And I hear of friends moving. They're worried. They're not going to have enough. And wow. But he says, don't worry about it. This is Jesus talking. None of the people, richest man in the world, was Solomon, I guess, at that time at least, in his time. And said, even God takes care of the flowers. God takes care of the grass. He's going to take care of us too. He cares for us. He's able to take care of us. And then he goes to talk about a sparrow. And I've heard people cuss sparrows. Jesus didn't cuss them. He just says they're not worth very much. Just a fact. I don't see him cursing them or cussing them. He said, two are sold for a penny. That's a modern version of the money. Yet none of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of the Father. God cares even for cheap sparrows. He cares. It's like reaching over to pick up a penny. Not worth very much. Sparrow wasn't very much worth very much, but God cared for it. And don't be afraid, because in God's eyes we're worth so much more. These things. He says we are. Jesus says it. God exercises His care for us while we are still here on earth. He's provided a place for us after this life. But He cares for us and takes care of us while we're still here on earth. He provided for the needs of His people throughout the Bible. Just start at the front and just go. And just go from Adam and Eve to Noah to Abraham to Jacob. And these, some of these people were not very nice people. And think of Jacob. And Abraham, his life wasn't perfect. God still kept shaping it, getting him back into shape and blessing him again and caring for him. Getting to the place He had promised. Jacob's descendants. Joseph was already there in Egypt. Then getting them 400 years later, bringing them out of Egypt when life got unbearable or difficult to bear, and got them out, got them through the desert. It was difficult. People wouldn't listen. And they kept going around in circles. They kept worrying about God. They kept complaining before, oh, we're going to starve out here in this desert. But God kept providing everything they needed. Israel in the wilderness. And then Elijah in a time of famine. And then the multitudes that followed Jesus, even when they were hungry. And the disciples said, let them go feed themselves. Jesus said, no, we're going to take care of them. And that's, I think, one aspect of that is to illustrate that God's going to care for His people. God's going to care for His people. He does care for His people. Multitudes, the believers. And Paul wrote about God taking care or blessing the believers as he wrote to the people at Philippi, Philippians 4:19. So God, He cares for us. Somebody called it providing providence. He has, in His providence, He has provided for us. And He is still providing for us. And then he talked, this person that divided the providence of God into providing providence, he also used the word overshadowing providence. Or by His providence, He overshadows us. How He shelters us, protects us in the time of trouble. The psalmist in 57 says, as a refuge from the storm, Isaiah 25, in the shadow of His hand, Isaiah 51, or under the shadow of His wings, Matthew 23. Here he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, those who were mean people as we see them. He says, but how often? How often have I longed, or I have longed, to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. You were not willing.
the sheltering or the overshadowing providence of God. And then this guy mentioned the sustaining providence of God. Sustains us. Through His providence, He sustains us or upholds us. He supports the weak. Isaiah 41 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Can we believe that? Can we believe that God will really sustain us through flood and fire? He preserves, He supports the weak, He preserves the faithful. Proverbs 2:8 says, "For He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones." 2 Timothy 4:18, "The Lord will rescue me." Paul is writing to Timothy, "The Lord will rescue me from every attack and will bring me safely to that heavenly kingdom that He has provided for us." So it kind of went all around, a circle, right? "To Him be glory forever and ever." About God's providence. God acts as He pleases. And we don't have time to dwell on that one. As He pleases, not as we desire Him to act. He acts as He pleases. Story in Jeremiah. Potter. He took Jeremiah to watch a potter at a potter's wheel. And he said to Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, I can do with man what I please, like the potter does with that piece of clay." So we need to understand that. It's not do what we will, and it does what He will. If we can't understand that, we need to get that straight. He never forsakes His people. He never forsakes His people. And His providence embraces the whole world, not just America. He cares for people everywhere. Let us pray. Lord God, thank You. Thank You for caring for us, for providing for us, for taking care of us, especially when it comes to eternity. In Jesus' name. Would you take your hymn books? I think it's number 47. And will you turn to 47 and we'll sing the first and the second stanza. The first and the second stanza, "God will take care of you." And you may have never trusted Jesus, because He's the way to heaven, our way to an eternity with God. And maybe this is the moment. This is the hour. This is the time that you want to publicly express your faith in Jesus as your Savior, that you'll go to that place that He has provided for you. To 47, 1 and 2, stand together. Let's all sing, please. Just affirm God's care for us.
just say, thank you. Amen. Go in His name.
This might be the last Sunday you can do that, huh?